This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Always and forever begin with the praise of Allah. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and we send our love, greetings, salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his pious, his pure family, his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be amongst them. Ameen wa alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, last week we began our series on Ramadan, and we mentioned that really in the context of our lives, one accepted Ramadan is enough to enter you into Jannah. One accepted Ramadan is enough to save you from Jahannam. Those 30 days or 29 days can set up your eternity, subhanAllah. And we only have a few Ramadans in our lives. We don't know how many of the past ones have been accepted. We don't know how many we're going to have left. And so we should really make the effort and have the mindset that this could be my last Ramadan and get the most out of it bi-idhnillah. Between those 30 days, you can earn your Jannatul Firdaus, subhanAllah. Think of it like that. And we said before, the way to get the most of Ramadan, like any big event in your life, whether you're getting married, whether you have some big competition, you have a job interview, you need to prepare for it. An exam, you need to prepare for it. And therefore, a lot of the success of Ramadan happens in the prep before Ramadan. We only have about just over a week for Ramadan to begin. And there are certain things that need to be in place for you to make the most of your Ramadan. We mentioned last week, you have to have that niyyah. And niyyah, we'll talk a little bit more from the fiqh aspect. But niyyah is also your sincerity. Your sincerity. As we know, many times we mention this, that subhanAllah, that lady, she entered Jannah because she gave a dog some water. That was sincerity. A glass of water. Nothing really. But because the sincerity was there, Allah forgave all her sins and entered into Jannah. And so, the niyyah, that conversation that you have with Allah, what do I want to achieve in this Ramadan, must happen now. That you must happen now. And the beautiful thing about a niyyah, that even if you die before you get there, even if you don't achieve it, Allah rewards based on the niyyah. And so everyone, please, I speak to myself first, have a 5, 10 minute, 15 minute conversation with your Rabb. And say to Allah, Ya Allah, I don't know how many Ramadans I have left. But this is my last opportunity to get to Jannah. Think about it. If we're not yet in Jannah, and this is the last chance we get, Ya Allah, grant us that we succeed in it. That may this be the best Ramadan. So that is part of the niyyah, that we want to get Laylatul Qadr. And you only get, you aren't going to get it on that night by chance, by luck. You have to work throughout the month to get there, to get the full benefit of Laylatul Qadr. We also mention that part of the preparations for Ramadan is to remove any sin which prohibits the acceptance of Ramadan. And we mentioned some of them. Committing shirk, having animosity with your loved ones, having severe issues, you're not speaking to one another, and cleaning your money, making sure your money, your accounts, paying up any kind of interest if you can, moving away from every interest to halal kind of financing. It is part of what is required for that Ramadan to be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept deeds that are not done, that are not pure. And so the Ramadan must be pure. We gave the example of the Hajj. Why do we see the Hujjaj? Their lives transform after Hajj. Why? Because they had years of perfecting that niyyah. They come to class every single year for Hajj, even though they know they're accredited. They save their lifetime. They will know, this money is the pure money that must go to my Hajj pot. Only the best, cleanest, purest money. Now that since that yearning, that longing, is what really makes the Hajj for them beautiful. And so we need to have that same yearning for this Ramadan. The next point in today's lecture, inshallah, is for you to get the best out of any act of worship, you need to know the basics of its rules. So before you go on Hajj, you must go to Hajj classes. Before you can get, if you really sincerely want the best out of the ibadah, you must know the rules of how to perform Hajj and how to fast. Now, we've been fasting many years, alhamdulillah, and it's always important to understand the rules of fasting. Like every Ramadan, fasting, like the other acts of worship, has certain rules and regulations. And so we do a little bit about the pillars and the fiqh of fasting today. And this is part of your preparation of Ramadan. You want to make sure that every act of worship is done properly. You don't want to enter and do an act of worship and it's null and void because it was done incorrectly. How do you fast? Fasting implies abstaining refraining from eating, drinking, and any form of sexual intercourse from Fajr until Maghrib with the intention to fast. So a couple of things. You mustn't eat, drink, have sex, or have sexual contact from Fajr until Maghrib with the intention to fast. And each one has implications. It also implies that you cannot do things which are similar to eating. So, for example, like eating a drip. If you have a drip in your arm, that's like eating. This also will invalidate your fast. You might not have intercourse, but there are other forms of intercourse, and that would also be invalid. Alright, so we said your pillars are fasting. You must refrain from these things. Very easy, with a niyyah of fasting. There are those who are exempted from fasting. There are those who are allowed not to fast. And these are two categories of people. There are those who have a permanent excuse. They will never ever be able to fast. And those who have a temporary excuse. And each one has a different ruling. Allah says that you need to fast ayyaman ma'dudat. Allah has given you specific days to fast. 29 or 30. فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيدًا. But if you are sick, or عَلَى safar, or you are traveling, فَعِدَّتُمْ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرْ. Then make up the days that you must. So when you are traveling, or you are sick, and it's Ramadan, you don't have to fast, Allah says, but you owe Allah those days. You have skilt to pay, as we call it. وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتِيقُونَ. But as for those who struggle, who have great difficulty in fasting, فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. Then they do a fidya by feeding a poor person. So in this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you two scenarios. The person who has a permanent sickness. So let's say, for example, granny, she's too old to fast. Next year, she's even going to be older. She will never ever be young enough to fast. So for her, she never will be able to fast. There might be someone who has a permanent sickness. You know, the doctor says, look, brother, unfortunately, your diabetes is so severe, you must eat something during the day. So for this person, may Allah grant shifa, they will never ever be cured. The disease is incurable for now. So for them, what do? They don't fast in a month of Ramadan. They don't make up the days. They pay a fidya, a penalty. And the fidya is, you feed one person, one meal, for every day you must. SubhanAllah, so easy. So if you've missed 30 days of Ramadan, you need to feed 30 meals. Whether you take one man and you feed him 30 times, or you take 30 people, you feed them one time, whether at the beginning of the month, the end of the month, one big meal you do, no problem. But that is a debt that is owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll find now communications, how much is fidya? In essence, fidya is not money that you must pay. It's a meal that you must pay. And the ulama in Cape Town will calculate how much must this meal be. Is it a happy meal? Is it a Big Mac meal? Is it a tikka? They will calculate, look, it should be around 15, 20 rand. This is what's an average meal, okay? 3 twice 3, 5, what is it? So then they'll calculate that, and you just make sure you feed someone with that equivalent amount. It is always better to feed someone than to just put the money in Buddha Talib's hand in the masjid, and then we feed it for you. No problem, we can do that for you. But there's so much more sincerity when you actually go and buy the ingredients, and you make something, or you buy someone a meal, and you give it. Alhamdulillah, that is your fidya. Far more beautiful in the sight of Allah. That is for the person who can never ever fast. We have those who have a temporary excuse. And for most of us, we fall in this bracket. Who are those who have a temporary excuse? These are the people that are, number one, too sick to fast. That if they fast, it's going to be detrimental for their health. So you have a temporary sickness. You have an infection. You have, you know, you had the flu, whatever it is, for a couple of days, and the doctor says you should not fast, you must take your antibiotics. No problem. Listen to your doctors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to burden you. There was a man who performed Hajj in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, I will walk to Makkah, I'm not going to ride on my camel. And I will walk in the middle of the day, not at night. And I'm not going to wear shoes. And so after a few hours, of course, he collapsed. So the Nabi said, this is not taqwa. Hurting yourself, injuring your body is not taqwa. This is dhulm. You're putting oppression on yourself. Allah doesn't want this for you. You need to give the haq of your body. So if you are too ill to fast, Allah says, fast when you are ready to fast. And let your doctors decide. Alhamdulillah, it is beautiful that, you know, that level of iman is there, that how can I eat in the month of Ramadan? Even if I have the permission from the doctors, my iman feels bad. But remember, this is the allowance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given you this permission. Don't reject Allah's gift. So if you are too sick to fast, if fasting is going to make you ill, or if you are sick and fasting will delay the cure or make your symptoms worse, then you recover and then you fast and you make up those days. If it's 3, 4, 5 days, you make it up after Ramadan. The other person who has an exemption, this, the other temporary exemption Allah gives is for the traveler. That's always complicated. When are you a traveler? How long are you a traveler? It's very, very important to understand. In the Sharia, in Islam, you have two statuses. Like, you know, on Facebook, married or single, whatever, you have a status. Muqim, resident, or musafir, traveler. You are always one of those two. You can't be, it's complicated. It can't be, it's either you are muqim, you are a resident, or you are a traveler. When you become a traveler, when your status is musafir, Allah gives you certain gifts. The musafir gets a few bonuses. Number one, he can make the 4 rak'ahs to 2. Number two, he can substitute Jumu'ah for Dhuhr. So if you're a traveler, you don't have to perform Jumu'ah, you can make Dhuhr. Number three, if it's Ramadan, you don't have to fast that day, you can make it up after Ramadan. And number four, there's a khuf issue, we won't get into that. You have an extension on your khuf. Now, the complicated part is knowing when am I a traveler. You become a traveler when you are on a journey of 80 kilometers or more outside of your city. And in the destination that you go to. So while you are driving, while you are flying, while you are sailing, of course you're a traveler. Once you come to a stop somewhere. So maybe you're traveling from here. And I mean, it's holiday. Some of you might travel to Joburg, Dubai, wherever it is. We say this many, many times. You become a resident of a city. When you enter that city, and then the malaika ask you, how long are you going to stay in the city? At the malaika visa box. And they say, we are going to stay here for a week. He said, okay, if you are staying for more than 4 days, then mashallah, you are now a resident. You are now from the people of Joburg. You are now an Emirati. We give you a visa. You are not a visitor. You are actually a resident. So if you stop anywhere on your journey for 4 days or more, from the minute you arrive, you are a resident. You are no more musafir, you are muqim. And therefore all the privileges of 2 rak'ah salah, of fasting, of the khuf, all of that falls away. You need to stop, you need to fast as it is. But if you're stopping for 3 days, if you are traveling, then you have the option to fast or not to fast. Remember, these are options Allah gives you. You're not compelled. And people of taqwa go to the next level and they say, well, what is the best thing for me to do? What should I do? When it comes to salah, it is better for you to do qasr. The Nabi doesn't always perform qasr on safar. He always made 4 into 2. So it's always better to do qasr. As for fasting, you decide what is easier. Sometimes fasting is easier, sometimes fasting is not easier. Like how could it be easier? Let's say your travel is 5 o'clock the afternoon. Now, from Fajr until 5 o'clock, you are not a musafir. You are a resident, right? You didn't travel yet. You haven't started your journey. So you have to be fasting. Now you fasted from Fajr until 5 o'clock. If I now break my fast when I'm traveling, I need to do the whole day over. So you might say, you know what, it's easier. I just keep the next 2-3 hours and I complete my fasting and I don't have to do my skilt. Another person might say, oh, the menu looks so good on the plane. I want to eat. Khalas, you eat, no problem. It doesn't also mean the journey must be difficult. Whether you are first class, whether you are walking, it's the same. If you are musafir, you decide what is easiest and best for you. Whether you want to fast or not to fast. And the reward is, the best is to choose the easiest. That is the gift from Allah. So don't turn away the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very, 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 very important point here, guys. Niyya. Your niyya to fast for the day must be there before Fajr. You with me? Your heart, if I ask you, Fajr time, are you going to fast today? You must already intend, yes, I'm going to fast. And that is why, to explain this issue of the niyyah, let's say Ramadan next week, you go to your brother and you say, Puta Ahmad Salamat for Ramadan, Mubarak for Ramadan. He says, it's today Ramadan, I thought it's tomorrow. I got my dates mixed up. But Alhamdulillah, I didn't eat yet. I know it's 10 o'clock in the morning, but I haven't eaten anything from Fajr. I packed in my lunch, but I didn't eat yet. So I'm going to continue fasting. Was this man's niyyah there to fast? Puta Ahmad, was he intending to fast? No. So we say to Puta Ahmad, you lost this day. Yes, no punishment. It was a genuine mistake. You make up the day. You still fast the day, but you owe Allah a day. Because this doesn't count. Your niyyah wasn't there. Now, this is very important when you travel. If you know you're traveling, you must decide before Fajr, am I going to fast? You must make that decision before Fajr, I'm going to fast today. Even though I'm traveling, I'm going to fast. If you change your mind while you're traveling, no problem. Then you can break your fast, no problem, while you're traveling. But you can't do the opposite. You can't say, I'm not fasting, I'm going to eat. Then you get on the plane and you look at the menu and say, oh, I'm not so hungry for this. I don't feel like eating. And then it's 2 o'clock, so, oh, I might as well fast. No, now it's too late. Your niya wasn't there. So always have the niya to fast. And if you have the option, you can then break your fast. We also know the two people that are exempted from fasting is the lady in a haid. She cannot fast while it's in a menses. And the lady who is in nifas, bleeding after giving birth. But she makes it up. She makes it up after Ramadan. We conclude with this quick question. If I have days owing, so maybe last year, 2021, Ramadan, I was sick. I didn't fast for 5 days. How long does Allah give me to pay back the Ramadan? How long? Allah hasn't given a stipulated time. You have this qada, and you just need to make sure you fast it before you die. Remember, it's a pillar of Islam. Anytime a pillar is deficient, your Islam comes into question. Some scholars have said that it is makruh to let your skilt go to the next year. You have 1 year and you haven't fasted those days in. Now it's kind of ugly. So you still owe the day, plus you have to pay a fidya. Plus you pay a fidya. So if you had 5 days and you have no reason, you weren't sick, you didn't have chemotherapy for the whole year, so you have no reason to have extended this 5 days for so long. Now you owe Allah those 5 days of fasting, plus you must pay that fidya. You need to feed 5 people or 5 meals for a week. We've got a few days before this Ramadan begins. Any of us have outstanding Ramadans of previous years, make an effort inshallah to fast in these next couple of days, bi-ibnillah, and may Allah accept from us and grant us the best Ramadan this year. Ameen. We have a few announcements inshallah. They're not up on the slides. I know that alhamdulillah, part of Ramadan preparations here is getting a lot of making the most of the weekend before Ramadan, subhanallah. So there's a lot of festivals or a lot of expos. Buranu will also be at these expos, and of course the most important book in the month of Ramadan here in Cape Town after the Quran and the Sunnah of course is the Bukatrits, and that is of course available on sale. It's Buranu Islam's production, and of course this all goes to the betterment of our masjid and our soup kitchen. So inshallah contribute bi-ibnillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum.